Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard at Vobes, and this is my audio diary, which has been a little bit all over the place in recent weeks, as you know. And I apologise again. I mean, it's almost no point apologising because it seems to carry on being very ad hoc audio file or diary or whatever. Anyway, I'm trying to work out what today is. I haven't got my diary in front of me, I haven't got my phone in front of me, and it's been quite full on the last few days, which is again why I haven't been able to upload. And in fact, I've realised that the one before, I forgot to upload altogether. So there you are, a little bit disjointed. I shall try and do better. Anyway, I'm out wandering around the grounds at Biggleswick Farm on another sunny day. We could really do with some rain now. It is getting a bit ridiculous. Not that I want to be standing out in the rain, but I think the ground and the plants most definitely need some rain. I feel very sad for them. And we need rain on the land to water our stuff. Our potatoes have not done well because of the lack of rain. We can't water them sufficiently without, you know, just a few days here and there like we used to get of rain. Now, you know, I know in my childhood we would have weeks of sunshine, but not quite like this, and perhaps not quite so early. Certainly when it used to get to sports day, we'd have some very hot days. I do remember that. And I was never a kid who was into sports days and that sort of thing. I didn't like, I wasn't a great fan of school altogether. But I do remember them being stinking hot days. And of course we had to go in our blazers and all our black uniform. Ridiculous, really. But there you are. I'm drinking a cup of coffee. It's colder this morning. I don't know why. It does seem cooler. The last, I suppose, 3 or 4 days has seemed a bit colder in the mornings. In fact, it's been colder all day, which has been nice, but I'm told it's going to go back up. Yesterday, my neighbour asked me if I would cut his grass in his field, which was very long, with the topper on the tractor. And I said, yes, of course. He had cut our grass last year. So it was really repaying what he did for us. And now that we've got the tractor, but the tractor's been giving me a bit of jip with the battery. The battery was not full, up to spec, as it were. It's old, and I think it was a bit dilapidated, so it wouldn't start. We tried trickle charging it over time, all the usual stuff. And I thought, you know what, I'll have to go and bite the bullet and buy a new battery, which is what we did yesterday. They're not cheap, and fitted it on. And of course the tractor started. So that was fantastic. So we took it down to the field in question and we cut the field with the topper, with the PTO, the power takeoff on the back. And it's, it was quite a rigmarole getting it into the field because it's quite narrow down the lane to the field. And through the gate, and the tractor's all right, but when you've got, you're towing something which is quite large and flat and extremely heavy, getting it through the gate, you've got to go in at the right angle. We got in at the right angle, did the cutting, which took about an hour and a half, I think. It was quite a lot of work. Because the tractor's not, you know, it's a vintage tractor. It's not going fast like one of these modern tractors that could whiz along. And also it's powering this massive blade underneath the topper that cuts the grass. It's quite an incredible thing, really. Yet simple mechanics. So it took a bit of time chugging along. Fortunately, I'd filled it with diesel and water, not in the same pot, of course. So that was an experience, and then managed to get the thing back. I did stall it at one point. You might think it's quite hard to stall a tractor, but I got into quite a thick bit of grass, and it was going up a slight slope, and I didn't have enough power, and the grass, I suppose the pressure of the grass and the blade on the PTO was enough to make the engine stall. And then I couldn't start it. I couldn't restart it, and I thought, oh no, we've emptied the battery. There is some strange wiring going on with that tractor. It's not wired properly. I mean, it works and everything, but I don't think the dynamo is putting the charge back into the battery. I think that's something I've got to look at. So anyway, I left the tractor for a bit, and we were going to go and put it back on charge and trickle charge it and just leave the tractor in the field with the job half done. And I thought, well, I suppose I better take this battery off. And I went back about 15 minutes later, I suppose it must have been. And to find, I thought, I'll just do one more go. And it started. So I thought, well, get on with the job. So I don't know whether it just needed a little rest, whether the it was very hot in the field, whether the everything had overheated. I don't know. I mean, the mechanics and stuff is all very simple. You wouldn't. There was no steam coming out of the water area, the radiator. So I don't know quite what did it, but I think it's the wiring. There's something not right. I think the two guys who put the tractor together again, they've done a fine job, and I'm very happy with the tractor in and of itself, but I think I might buy a new wiring loom, which you can buy for about £60, I think, and methodically go round and follow the book, the service book, and rewire it properly. Because I think, as I say, I'm not convinced that anything's coming back out of the dynamo. Now, of course, I'm not expecting a lot of energy to come back out of the dynamo when you're only going, pulling the tractor round our field just to pick up the trailer and, say, pick up logs and things and then move them to one place to the other. But when we were, an hour or two in a field cutting grass, I do expect the charge to be trickling back into the battery to recover the energy that it's lost. So I think there's something weird going on. And I know that because when we bought the tractor, the start, how you start it is different from how you would expect. It's not on the dashboard, it's a different way of starting. He said he had done it that way because he didn't want it stolen, and so he changed the ignition, as it were, where you put the key in, and he changed it for a different type of key. So he said anybody who wanted to steal a tractor, they might look at it and say, oh yeah, it's a Fordson Major, this is the normal key that they have. and they'd be surprised because it wouldn't be. So, I mean, on one level, I thought that was quite good at the time. I would rather have the tractor so you can sit in the driver's seat and restart it or start it to begin with and turn it off, because you have to turn it off in a different place as well. The turning off is purely because there's a wire or a cable that doesn't go from what it pulls to the dashboard. That's all that is. And I think because these guys were, I suppose, diesel enthusiasts and steam enthusiasts, you know, mechanical things, they didn't necessarily worry about the niceties. And of course, they're just using these tractors and their steam stuff for show at events. So they don't need to actually do work with these things. So now that I'm actually doing the work and making it earn its pay, it needs to be more practical and go back to the original design. Anyway, that's my thoughts on the tractor. But it's great to have it out. So I've got a friend coming over today, and I need to get the topper off. So I'm hoping the tractor starts again. It should do with a new battery. But one thing I have discovered is that I can, with the little power oak I have and the solar panel, which is really just a camping piece of equipment. The power oak is a battery, effectively, that you plug the solar panel in. So the solar panel collects the electricity from light and goes into the battery on the power oak. The power oak supplies all sorts of different outputs, 12 volts, a couple of volts for USB, but also 240 volts up to a certain level of ampage. Well, it looks as if one can plug in the trickle charger into the power oak and put that onto the battery so that it trickle charges the battery effectively using sunlight. In other words, free. So that seems to be a possibility. So I need to have, obviously the tractor is often kept in a neighbour's shed where it's safe, but it has been on the land recently because I've got the topper attached to it and it won't fit in the shed. So what I need to really do is to build, I suppose, a protective shed for the tractor here with a solar panel and whatever, you know, necessary conversion thing to turn it into 240 volts so that I could plug in the trickle charger. But I can do that this morning when the sun comes into the right position, or I can move the tractor into a position where it's in the sunshine better, and then you can just trickle charge the battery. It all sounds very complicated, but I think I've got it in my mind, provided there's enough ampage. But I tried it with the older battery yesterday and it seemed to work. It trickled in, but the battery was so dead it barely, you know, barely did anything, and it probably needed a whole 12 hours of charging anyway. But the second battery is there in reserve. Sorry, just waffling on about tractors for this episode. I do apologise for that. What else has been going on? Been reading. Julia and I love our reading in the evenings. We're reading Tess of the D'Urbervilles at the moment, which is a fascinating story, but also fascinatingly written. Hello, Mo. How are you? it's nice to have a bit of a classic, to read a classic, and the old English. I wasn't really aware that Thomas Hardy, beg your pardon, had written in that style, because I'm sure, I'm just trying to remember the other book I read of his, it may have been The Mayor of Castlebridge, or the other one, which I can't remember, Far from the Madding Crowd. It may have been Far from the Madding Crowd. It's the one, maybe somebody can tell me, it's the one that starts with all the sheep that end up going over the cliff and get killed right at the beginning, led over the top of the cliff. And I can't remember which one that is. And then there's a woman who is the, I suppose, the landowner. I got confused because I thought that was the Tess of the D'Urbervilles, but that's not Tess of the D'Urbervilles. I know that now, because Tess of the D'Urbervilles is about this pure young lass who is gets herself into various different problems and learns, well, her father learns at the beginning that they are from a long line of a titled family, even though the family now is a very poor relation, I suppose, or the title fell out of use, and this section of the family on the family tree is the poor relation. And so I guess I'm assuming that by the end of it she becomes the titled lady. I don't know, we're only a small way through the book, but it's fascinating. The language, though, I find, and the way he puts the language is what really interests me. And some of the words, kind of have to keep looking them up. These old words which have fallen out of usage, which is, you know, interesting. But what I was trying to say is that I don't remember whichever book it was that I was reading, with the sheep falling over the thing, and this shepherd, I think he was a shepherd, I mean, it's a long time ago now, the shepherd who's he has no livelihood now because the sheep have gone, so he goes and he gets a job under this this lady who's now the lady of the house, and he has met her previously on the lanes, and he becomes, I think they basically have a relationship in the end, some description, I can't quite remember. I must try and work out which book that is. There's probably some synopsis somewhere online. Anyway, I don't seem to remember that book being in the same written style, so I don't know if he changed his style. That one seemed to have been easier to read. Anyway, I'm waffling on about nothing in particular really this morning on this sunny day. I should go and have a smoke of my pipe. I'm currently reading Theirs Was the Kingdom, which is the second book, R.F. Delderfield's novel, from God is an Englishman. I've read the God is an Englishman, about the Adam Swan family and him setting up Swan on Wheels, about the courier service that he set up in the late Victorian era. And then this one is, I think this is more about his children. And then there's a third one, which I can't remember the title of it, to go, a big, long saga. I do like Delderfield writing. I've said that many times before. I do very much like that. And I would love to find another author who writes similarly to him, because it's just so immersive and you get involved, and it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful work. And sadly, Ronnie Delderfield, died when he was 60. I mean, he spent so much time writing. I guess he didn't look after his physical body too much. His mind was racing with these stories and characters and things. And what a shame that he didn't have at least another 20 years. And you think there could have been another 10 books to add 10 more stories or more. It is a shame when people who you admire die so young. And what can you do? But yes, his writing is very touching in places, funny, outrageous in others. It's beautifully done. He was a master, really. I don't know that his writing style would capture young people these days, because unless they are quite well read or literary people, because he, again, you know, he was of his time in the sort of 50s and 60s and 70s, where people read prose and appreciated it. I think so many books these days are so plot focused